Lucas, you may remain here because I'm going to preach for you as well, okay? So this is, I will read you one more time the passage of the day. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, before I start my sermon, I would like to ask you, whom among you has a fast hand? Like that. Okay, Chloe raised her hand. Oh, well, all right, Chloe, come up. Go up. All right, you raised your hand. I know from the back there, my students, my youth has a fast hand. How many of you in the martial art? Oh, Ben is doing martial art. All right, come on down. Come on up here. I don't know what kind of martial art you have you've been doing, but here you go. You know, this is the thing. I like to talk about martial art a little bit, okay? You said that you are in the martial art, you too, right? What are you doing?
Aikido!
All right, what are you doing?
Aikido!
A lot of doubt on that guy, right? But since they admit that they do martial art, we should test them, right? Why? Because we need proof. We have to prove that they are a valid martial artist. Okay, you ready for a test? My test is very easy. I want to test your fast hand since you're in martial art. So I have two pieces of paper, but I'm just going to use one for now. All right, let's start with the young one here. Chloe, come here. All right, Chloe looks like Elsa, right? Like a snow princess? With all that white. Okay. I'm just going to test your speed. I'm not going to ask you to punch because we are at the church. So what you got to do is just hold your fingers like this. Okay? So like ready to pinch. Ready? One, two, go. All right. So I'm going to count one, two, three. On the count of three, just going to... All right? Concentrate. You watch carefully, okay? It will be embarrassment if you... If she beat you. One, two, three, and then, yeah, you I have not dropped it yet, okay? So, one, two, three, okay, you got pinching around two, okay? One, two, three. Well, that's pretty fast. Good. One more time. One, two, three. Oh, come on. One more time. Well, you did it the first one, right? So you got one score. One, two, three. Very good. Let's try Mr. Ben. Hey. She's a martial artist, a true one. All right, clap your hands. All right. This is a fake one. One, two, three. Ah! Come on, brother. One more time. Two more. She got two, okay?
All right,
concentrate. On the count of three. One, two, three. Come on, Ben.
I'm only white belt.
You're only white belt. All right, one, two, three. Give your hand to Ben. Okay, this is your gift. You got an extra one for practice at home, all right? So friends, what does it mean for us, okay? So Ben literally was not a martial artist. Or maybe in a way, okay? I'm not trying to embarrass you, friend. Okay, but Chloe really proved it. You know, we're talking about proof. We're talking about, the passage talks with this, start with this. How do we know that Jesus loves us? How do we know that Jesus loves us? How do we know that Kyle loves his father? How do we know that Audi loves his mother? What? What kind of proof can you give us? What can you do? What can you prove? Can you prove it? By what? Okay, he hugs you, but can you hug him to show your love? Okay, this is the thing. The word proof, the noun proof, And the verb prove came from a Latin word. It's called probus.
Probus.
Say it together.
Probus.
All right. One more time. Everybody.
Probus.
All right. Now you got a Latin word for the day. It means upright or honest. It's true. It's valid. And, you know, if you trade a little deeper, it derived verb, probare, meant to try, to test, to judge. In other words, it's to test and to find valid. Just like what we did with Chloe. Chloe claimed herself, I am a martial artist. And we proved it. We tested it. That she was the right one, right? She got a fast hand. One, two, three, like that. Now you want to practice with Chloe later on, right? So we already tested that. So this is what I'm trying to say to you today. The passage starts with that. This is how we know what love is. This is what we know what love is. In other words, God, it's already been tested. You know, his faithfulness, his love, his mercy, his kindness has already been tested, and it's proven true. And this is how we know that God is love. That Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Do you know what laid down his life means? Do you know, Ethan? Oh, you're going to sing? Okay, lay down your life means, you know, you basically, you know, it's like, well, you put your life on the line. You put your life on the line in order to protect others. For instance, like this. Chloe, can I help you help again? Since you're pretty brave today. So if Chloe is in trouble, if Chloe is, you know, somebody is going to attack her, even though she's a great martial artist, and because I love her as her teacher, I will lay down my life to her. So for instance, there's a sword or there's an arrow coming right to her, like that, and I am going to lay down my life by being a shield for her. Okay, you know, I'm the one who's dead, not her, right? So you've seen it in the movie and stuff like that. That's what it means, laying down your life for someone that you love. And Jesus did that. And see this, friend? Through the cross, he gave his life for all of us. You may be seated. Thank you, Chloe. You know, he did that. He proved his love by giving up his life for us. You know, and probably when I ask you, if I ask you this, how many of you willing to give your life up to someone that you love? Will you raise your hand? Will you give your life? Will you give? Be honest to me. Will you give? Oh. Ben and...
In a video game.
In a video, no. In the real life. Will you give your life? You know, in a video game, you have plenty of life. No. You only have one life on earth. Will you give it up for someone that you love? And you know, to be honest, it's hard for me. You know, it's hard for me. For instance, if Chloe on danger, I can say it on the sermon here. I can just give my life to her. But in reality, probably it's really hard. I have to think 3 times, 4 times, 5 times in order to give my love to Chloe. And I gotta think, oh, you know what? I have my family too. What about my family? You know, who's going to give their life to my family? And it's really hard and complex. It's not as easy as it sounds like. But that is the challenge that Jesus laid down for us. You got to give your life to someone that you love. Maybe your friends. Maybe your family. But, you know, and John knows that in a way. That's why he kind of dumbed it down a little bit. So this is what he said. Okay, you may not be able to give your life to others,
but at least you can do this. If you see someone in need, why don't you just give them something? Why don't you just give them something? If you see someone in need or material possession, if you see a homeless person hungry on the street, if you see your brother and sister struggling with their homework, why don't you just step up and help them? And that is the true love. Something small, something little that you can do. You know, Jesus already said, I am love, you know, and the first John, the letter of John said it so clearly, you know, because Jesus already proved his love to us by laying down his love, his life. Now this is what we have to do. We have to lay down our life to others. We have to do something, no matter how small and how big, to help others in need. And that is the call for our Lent season. In this Easter, you know, season, I would like you to really embody the love of Jesus Christ by showing care, showing mercy, showing kindness to others. I would like to close with this, friends. And another one here. Let's read it together. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. You can say, love, I love you so many times. I love you, Ben. I love you, Vanya. I love you, Viola, or my family. It means nothing if you don't love them, okay? You have to love with actions and with truth. I would like to close with this. This is a nice book that I have. It's about prayer. This is a story. I would like to close with a story. There are two friends who lived a long time ago, around 16th century. These two friends, one of them is, his name was Albert. His name was Albert. And the other friend, nobody knows what his name was. But they were so close to each other. And they had a dream about becoming a great painter, a great artist one day. But they were both so poor. You know, and going to an art school was very expensive at that time too. Somebody had to work to make a living, to pay the tuition or something like that, and to provide with the material for the painting. So these two friends talk to each other, you know what? We should do this. Let's make a deal. One of us do the work, get money, get a lot of money, and then the other one can go to school. After the other one graduated from the art school, we'll take turn. And the other one go work, and I'll go to school. Got it? Okay, and Albert, well, we can say that that's the youngest one is Albert. Albert said, okay, let me do it first. Let me work. And the other one said, no. You know what? I'm older than you. And I think my talent is not as big as you are. You have more talent in painting and art. Let me just work for 3-4 years. And then after that, you can, you know, we can switch, swap, and then you work. And then I can go to an art school. Okay. So Albert went to an art school. And the other guy worked day and night to pay off the tuition of Albert. He scrubbed the floor. Remember, in the ancient time, you know, we're talking about 300 years ago, they scrubbed the floor. They got no vacuum cleaner. They got no, you know, mop, a machine like Swiffer or, you know, like a machine or like the robot. What is that? iRobot. Yeah, there you go. That go by itself and then you can just watch doing your job. No way. You got to be on your knee and scrub the floor. And of course, at that time, there's no Clorox. So what you had to do is you really have to scrub. Scrub, washing this, washing that, brooming this and brooming that. For three, five, six years until Albert graduated from school. So that's Alberg now. Whoa, now Alberg graduated from school to art school, and then he just like, yeah. And he went back to his friend, and he said this to his friend. Hey, friend, I'm already graduated. Now it's my turn to work, and now it's your turn to go to school. You know, his friend said this. I'm too old for that now. I'm too old. You know, and you see my fingers here? I've been scrubbing floors, I've been brooming, and I've been doing a lot of hard work. And you see my hands, a lot of calluses, a lot of the muscles and so are stiff and stuff like that. You know what? Forget it. I'm so glad that you can go to school. You can finish and become a great artist. I want you to continue to paint and to draw until you die. I mean, don't worry about me. I can just survive by doing what I've been doing, scrubbing floors and do the hard work. Don't worry about me. You know, Albert was so touched by that. And he said, wow, gotta be something that I can do to pay back what he has done for me. So one night, friends, Albert saw his friend on his knee praying to the Lord. Albert saw that and he wept. He wept, and you know, tears coming down from his eyes. And he said, you know what, that is so special. And what he saw was a very touching moment, you know. And this is what happened. Let me read it for you. I can never... This is Albert when he saw his friend praying. I can never give back the lost skill of those hands. He saw his friends with his, you know, ugly hands praying. His hands were stiff, right? I cannot give back the lost skill of those hands, but I can show the world the feeling of love and gratitude which is in my heart for this noble deed. I will paint his hands as they are now, folded in prayer. And the world shall know my appreciation for a noble, unselfish character. It may be that when people look at the picture, they will remember with love and devotion all hands that toil for others and, like me, express in some beautiful way their appreciation for such beautiful service. And this is what he painted. You've seen this everywhere, friends. Yeah, this is a true story. His name was Albrecht Dürer. And he painted his friend's hands that was praying for him. You know, those hands never went to the art school, but those hands changed his friend's life forever. And that's what Jesus asked for us. I have done something big for you. I have loved you with all my heart. Now it's your turn to love your brothers and sister. You cannot repay me, but surely you can pay it forward to someone that you love. So this Lent season, friends, the call is for us is to love and to love, to show kindness, show mercy, like those hands that. So if you think you cannot do anything, one thing that you can do is to pray for those you love. Let's pray. God teaches us how to love. Because Jesus had loved us so much by giving up his life. God, now it's our turn to really pay it forward so that we can love others with our attitude, to show them mercy wherever they need, whenever they need it. Just like the friends, the great friend of Albert Dürer, who gave up his talent, he gave up his skill to lift up his friends. We want to be that kind of friend who always be there for
our beloved ones. So help us, Lord, this Lent season, this Easter season, so that we can love like you loved. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now, you know what, friends? I would like all the little children to come by me again. We're going to sing that last song, Jesus Loves Me. Why didn't you come up and stand up here again? You're going to teach the people of Gigai San Jose how to sing Jesus Loves Me. Please stand. And you gotta sing it loud so that people can hear you.
Jesus loves.